Craft Beer Radio pre-show, Black Friday edition.
Right. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is we're doing it on Thanksgiving night, which is now technically part of Black Friday.
Yep. I think starting like 4 p.m. on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, yeah. what an awful, awful thing. Just because you can buy so much crap online now. What's the point? I mean, I get that if you stand in line, you can get a deal if you're one of 10 people. But come on.
Yeah, the deals aren't as great as they used to be. Mm-hmm. I'm more jaded than I used to be. I don't know. It just seems like back in the day, you could get really good deals.
All those really good deals are on the internet, and if you know, the best way to find them is obviously to go to craftbeerradio.com/Amazon and check out Amazon.com through their new page, which is behind our site.
Right, because they moved wholesale.
Yeah, they moved everything behind our site. So don't go to Amazon.com. It's a scam site.
It's a phishing site.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I saw something about, you know, Walmart are now opening like at 4, yeah, like 4 or 6 today. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving night, and it feels wrong.
There's another side of the story where, you know, a lot of the people working volunteered for the shift.
They get extra money.
Extra money for their holiday season and whatnot. So, and I don't know which companies pay holiday pay, time and a half or whatnot.
Well, I mean, under a certain... You know, depending on your job description, you're entitled to it.
Right.
Like, we are professionals, so we're not entitled to holiday pay. More holiday pay. We get a salary, that's it. But, like, people who are working retail, they definitely get holiday pay. It's required. It's government law.
Okay.
Anything above 40 hours is time and a half, and anything that's on a holiday is time and a half.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, I mean, don't feel too bad. You know, these people were... Some of them, you know... Sure, some of them don't want to be there. But it's giving an opportunity to people to make some more money when they need it. So...
Money, money, money. You're all about money.
Well, you need money to survive, so... You gonna go live off the grid in the woods somewhere?
I mean, I'm saying it's possible. You can survive without money. Speaking of my newest culinary thing that I'm trying to do is, I don't know if you've ever seen them in the store, kale chips.
I think I've seen
them.
They're
dehydrated kale, and they have this quote unquote vegan cheese. And I always thought they were good because they were vegan and gluten free. Didn't have anything in there that wasn't off, that was like off my diet. So, I bought a pack. And I liked them a lot, and I was like, "This is $7 for this pack of small." And kale's $1.20 for a big bushel. So I decided to start trying to make my own, and it's pretty easy to make your own. I've done a pretty good job.
Cool.
I think. You bake some cashews. Get the cashew pieces in halves because you're going to put them in the processor anyway. Mm-hmm. Put them in the food processor with put some garlic powder. I put some of the sumac that I had last time. Mm-hmm. Put some paprika, some Hungarian paprika in there. Smoked paprika, so it gets a little smoky. Mm-hmm. Put a little bit of chili. I put a little bit of cayenne, a little bit of some other Mexican chili that I have. And just mix that all together, all the dry ingredients. Mm-hmm. Make a little paste with just water. And then you take the kale, you take the leaves off of the stem.
Mm-hmm.
You use relatively big leaves because they're going to shrink. Mm-hmm. You dip them in the paste, get them, you know, not totally coated, but have stuff in them. Put them onto a baking rack, put them in the oven 250. Give it about an hour.
Okay.
They come out wonderful. And you can just keep putting more and more in.
Right.
And they're great. I have some actually in my car if you'd like to try.
Yeah, we could try some later.
Yeah.
Greg Weiss's homemade kale chips.
Yeah. So they're pretty easy and fun to make, and it's a lot cheaper than buying those little packages.
And you can mix up the flavors.
Yeah, no, at the Thanksgiving dinner, I was at, loved them. Everyone at my D&D place loves them. When you go play D&D at Jonathan's house, everyone loves them. So,
bunch of D&D nerds eating kale chips.
Yeah,
basically. Aren't they supposed to be eating Fritos?
Some do. But I brought the kale chips, and people like them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. easy sell. I mean, they're easy to make. They're cheap to make, and they aren't as bad for you as Fritos. And I can make people happy. Why wouldn't I want to be that? Maybe
a new future for you, kale chip king.
But I mean, I want to stress, D&D night is not all D&D. We tend to have like 4 hours set for D&D, and maybe we get an hour and a half of D&D in, because we're just talking about other crap during the whole thing. I mean, one thing is we had this big, long exchange about an app idea. It's not going to work. It's already been done. But
damn.
But it was fun. It was fun to, you know, talk about that. And then we also talked about various other pop culture things.
So if kale chips are so expensive, there's a market for you to come in and undercut them.
Well, kale chips are
there is,
but you know, it's the massive scale that is probably the reason why they're expensive. Because you have to have a packaging for it. You have to put in the desiccant stuff in there, so that you drive. Right. You have to have them shipped, and so there's a lot of structure that goes into that. You have to have it obviously looked over by the FDA. Etc.
Greg Weiss is rejuvenating homeopathic kale chips.
I'm not saying. All I'm saying is there is they don't have any ingredients that vegans or gluten, or people with celiac disease wouldn't like. That's all I'm saying about them. And I think they taste pretty good.
And you put your weed in there.
And you probably could hide your weed in there pretty easily. Speaking of Black Friday.
Yes. You gonna get anything on your shopping list? Any toys you're gonna try to?
No, although I was asked about X-Bone versus PS4.
X-Bone.
Xbox One.
Oh, okay. I see.
Here's the way I look at it. If you desperately need to buy a system, then you and your choice is between either do you really like watching TV and all the other entertainment options that are available to you, or do you just like play games? And if you really like watching TV and all that stuff, you should buy the Xbox. If you just like to play games, you should buy the PS4. However, I don't think that either of them are worth it right now. I think that it's not a situation where there's any good games out there yet for either system. And I'm not much of a gamer now anyway, so I don't see any use for it. I don't watch TV on my TV.
Right.
It's just sitting there. And I don't play games very much. So it leaves me in a place where there's no real reason for me to get either one.
I still got a bunch of unfinished Xbox first generation games to finish up. So I don't need anything new to pile on the plate, you know? I had the original Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, that was when it was a cool time, because you could get all the games for free. You could just download them and plop them on a hard drive.
Yeah, they needed to get in the market. They needed to get out there quick. Oh, copy protection, schmoppy protection.
Snow and cold, finally. Because the latter half of November, it was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Yeah. And now we got snow for like the next week. I think at the very end of the forecast, I saw it's up to 50 for a day or something like that. But yeah, kids like it. Except, of course, you know, it snows, and then it rains on top of the snow. So
right.
It's horrible snow. Horrible snow for the kids to play in, because there's that icy crust that's in the middle of the snow now.
Like, yeah, so that now it's just really hard.
Mm-hmm.
None of it is soft. It's just this really hard, rock hard snow. So that's kind of lame. But yeah, it's finally getting a little bit colder.
We talked about the that Pico Brew Zymatic before, right?
Yes.
They their final goal, fundraising goal, they got four times what they had asked for. They had raised
$661,000.
Mm-hmm. And? So we were talking about it and, you know,
thought its merits. Did you ever come to a consensus on the question of whether you're a home brewer if you use that device? I say that you are.
Right.
Mostly because I feel like the home brewer term is sort of tossed around with too heavy a hand.
Right. I mean, the only reason I hesitated was thinking about the angle of entering homebrew competitions with it. But even then, as I think about it, you know, there's a lot of work outside. This only does the wort preparation, right? Yeah. I mean, the fermentation, all the cellar work, all the packaging work, you still have to do all that stuff. And you can screw up your beer plenty by doing that stuff.
And I imagine you could screw up your beer with a Zymatic if you use the wrong settings, if you don't get the right, you know, if your recipe doesn't work with the Zymatic, or for whatever reason, things don't come out quite right. I mean, the thing is that you don't have that fine a control with the Zymatic, so you're actually in...
Actually, you do have pretty fine control for wort preparation.
But you don't have as fine control as you might have in an external one where you... I mean, you can actually do a boil if you thought that was really necessary. You could maybe use different, you know... Maybe use a different type of grain, maybe do a different type of mash than you would otherwise.
I mean, other than not reaching boil, you can pretty fine... Well, I guess, you know... Great for the grist bill, right? You're still doing your proportions manually for that. You're still loading the hops in, the weights manually, right? You don't do the additions anymore, but you load the hops in manually. So, yeah, I guess you're a home brewer. I mean, it's just a lot of automation, you know? I got some automation in my brew house. There's guys that have even more automation, a brew magic system. No one would say that someone running a brew magic system isn't a home brewer. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would submit that you wouldn't be a home brewer if you somehow pressed a button and out came the beer that you wanted based on an ingredient list. All you had to do was press a button and it would do everything behind the scenes and even just bring out bottles for you. And there you go. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, you've kind of missed the point of being a home brewer in that sense because... All you're doing is selecting an option. But no, you're doing a lot of crafting. I mean, you're crafting your recipe. You're doing, like you said, all the grunt work that's involved in cleaning and then bottling and fermenting and bottling and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see why it's anything but just a way to make a... One of the more difficult and not necessarily time-consuming steps. It's actually the least time-consuming of the steps, I think. But it's one of the more difficult to control parts of brewing, and you're giving yourself a finer level of control.
Well, there's $600,000, but only 866 backers. That's a lot per person, it seems.
Well, yeah. Some people really want one.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't surprise me. So it was a $10,000 machine? Was that what it was? 13?
I don't remember.
Or was it 3? I forget.
3 sounds more like it.
Yeah. So it looks like Comet Ison bit the dust.
No.
It, as I wrote in a tweet... It took Daedalus's suggestion a little bit too far. Flying into the sun. So something came out, but it looks like a dust plume and not the core of the comet.
Okay.
So the core of the comet got basically eaten up and just the dust is continuing on that path. But
right.
We're not going to get a sky show like we wanted, but we kind of knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was following it and realized that this thing is probably not going to stay together, is it? I mean, it dipped in the atmosphere of the sun. It was really not that big. It was like 2 kilometers.
Right.
Yeah.
Melty melt. All right. Well, that's a bummer. I was hoping to see that, but... See, it's the way things go, right?
Today was Thanksgivica.
Thanksgivica?
Because this is one of the first days of Hanukkah this year, which happens upon Thanksgiving. It won't happen again like this for 70,000 years. It's based on this weird thing where the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar.
Oh, right.
And so that's why the holidays vacillate all around the Gregorian calendar that we're familiar with. And it was very nice that, I go to my friend Damien's mother's house. They've kind of adopted me as sort of my Pittsburgh family. And they... even though they're Catholic, they created a little Thanksgiving thing and they gave him a Nora to. I'm kind of like, you know, I don't really do this, but I'll indulge you guys because you did this for me, and it's very, very nice of them to do that. You know, I didn't want to go say, well, not really. After they went to all this trouble to set that up and, you know, let me explain it and everything, I was like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? So it was fun. It was really nice.
That's cool.
So that was fun.
She's been like, the real secret is it's strippers and blow. That's what we do. We don't do the menorah anymore.
It's getting a little bit too personal about me. I have a problem with strippers. Did I talk about this before?
I don't know.
I think I wasn't sure if I was talking to you or talking to somebody else where I mentioned that strip clubs bother the hell out of me. And I think it's just the whole thing of, I'm going to stick my vagina in your face. Give me money. It's just like,
oh. Yeah, you've talked about this one before.
There's kind of like nothing gross. But what, do we talk about the idea that I liked?
I don't know.
Which was, if you take that idea of strippers and translate it into something a little bit less kind of just pure smut. And the idea was, what if you make it a restaurant where the waitresses are naked? And they can be happy and cheerful, you know, come up, you know, blah, 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 you know, talk to you and get a nice tip without having
to put her leg up on your shoulder.
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't want it to be kind of as in your face. I'd want it to be more of a kind of joyful type thing. I think that might be more fun and more interesting to me than just, look at my body, you pigs.
Right.
So I despise strip clubs, but I think that they...
So Hooters without the shirts.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, that would be...
Tilted kilt without the kilts.
I'm thinking like the old Playboy bunny clubs probably would have been a lot of fun. You know, where they were very scantily clad, dressed up. But it was really more like a drinking party.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just running around and having fun and talking up. And
right. I wonder if there's any nude restaurants.
Like, you have to be a nude, classy restaurant. Like a great steakhouse.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
There's got to be nude restaurants somewhere, right?
There probably is.
World's weirdest restaurants. Naked dining, baths of beer... Hey, this is like where this is going. But yeah, I thought maybe a Google search for a nude restaurant would come up with like a couple restaurants, but nothing popped up to the top of the list here.
I think we have a business idea.
Huh. Here we go. There was a show I was watching. Where was it? On Dexter, right, in this final season. You're rolling your eyes because Dexter sucks. But on this final season...
Would you say Dexter sucks?
I would say the final season really sucked one, yeah. But I'm not talking about the merit of the finale. I'm just talking about one plot line. And Osuka, is that his name? I think it's Osuka. You know, the forensics guy?
Yeah.
He finds a daughter of his from a sperm donation, right? And he goes to visit her at work, not realizing it's a topless restaurant, right? Uh-huh. So it's exactly what you're talking about, right? Where, I mean, well, she had, you know, a skirt on, but boobs hanging out, she's taking orders and stuff like that. So at least it exists in Dexter's universe.
And it's from what I understand from reading, because I love reading horrible reviews or something, that plot never got any further than just there for titillation and showing boobs, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vince didn't trust her, and she got offended, and then they're buddies again, but there's no real conflict resolution, yeah,
there's right? There's no arc. There's no arc to that.
Yeah.
Speaking of strippers, the world's heaviest orgasm.
Got a tweet about the world's largest, heaviest...
Not the world's largest, the world's heaviest organism.
And it's a stand of aspen trees.
Yeah.
In Utah, and that was a fascinating Wikipedia article. I mean, things either 80,000 or a million years old, and you know, like the
it's questionable though whether you can consider that, because there were some questions in the article about that, because there may be parts where they are split off so so where the roots are actually split off. So even though they have the same, they're clonal organisms, they're technically separate organisms.
Well, I think what they're saying is the root system is contiguous, but portion of the root system may be dead.
Yeah.
So
these two areas would actually be separated, and it would be separate organisms, even though they are clones of each other. I mean, all bananas you eat are clones of each other, right? So are all bananas the same banana?
I don't know. They all have the exact same DNA, or
all bananas have the exact same DNA.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
All the bananas are going to get wiped out someday.
Yes, and there's already something that's kind of... The thing is, there already was a banana that banana candies are based on. So that's why banana candies taste more banana-y than bananas.
Right.
There was a banana. I think the one we have right now... I think the one before was called the Cavendish. And that was wiped out by a particular strain, a nasty strain, because it's all cloned. And we came up with a new one. And that's the one that's in stores now. And there's a nasty strain of something that's coming out. But people have better controls as to how they deal with it. So
I know they're talking about doing that with Arabica coffee beans, right? There's a risk that the genetic line of all the world's coffee is too similar. And that it could all be wiped out with, you know, a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So there are efforts to diversify the coffee lines. So, you know, more than they are.
I would like to see... I mean, the thing about the bananas that we have now is they can't reproduce. It's impossible. They don't have seeds that are viable. Uh-huh. They don't... There's no way for them to do, you know, sexual reproduction.
Right.
So there's no way for them to evolve. There's no way for them to evolve naturally. Let me put it that way. We could, in theory, add different genes to the banana to make it to change certain things, but that would be very, very complicated.
The where'd that go? That heaviest organism, what was it called? Pando. You know, it's just so much about that article is fascinating. Like, the thing hasn't flowered in 80,000 years or something like that. Or whatever it was.
Because the conditions have not been...
Yeah, I mean, its environment had changed out from under it, and it can't reproduce anymore in the environment that it's in. But it continues to thrive because it's cloning itself instead of doing sexual reproduction.
So it can't reproduce, sexually, but it can do essentially... Does it count as parthenogenesis if it's a plant? I don't know.
I don't know, but I mean, it thrives because also it outcompetes because of wildfires, because it has this huge root system that stays intact. So as soon as a fire knocks down all its trees, it sends up new shoots, you know, with all the robustness of this giant root system, you know, it has all the carbohydrates to start doing stuff. Huge, huge reserves to rebuild.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pando. Better than pandas. Pandas are going to go extinct. And frankly, they should.
Anyone that hates fucking that bad should go
extinct. Yeah, seriously. If you're that against fucking and you can only eat eucalyptus and you don't want to do anything.
Bamboo.
And you don't want to do anything. I mean, yes, it's koalas. You can only eat eucalyptus. And you just sit around and do nothing all the time. That tends to... be poor evolutionary strategy, shall we say.
There's that. It doesn't help that they're these giant creatures.
Yeah.
That eat nutritiously deficient food stuff. Yeah. Evolution should normally kill things off.
Evolution
like that.
Would kill that thing off real quickly.
But we're not letting it.
Right.
Well, real quickly is tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, I mean... You
know. And it'd be gone much quicker if we hadn't stopped...
poaching them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're a little bit faster in evolution in terms of our ability to do things like that. I have some other stuff, but most of it will actually be relevant to the beer show. So I don't want to necessarily bring up all these things that are relevant. But I really want to talk about the cavitation calamity.
Cavitation calamity.
This is the beer tapping physics.
Oh, the bubble thing?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Let's go drink some beers.
All right.